Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Today, I want to kind of continue what we talked about last week, and I'm going to interweave some personal testimony of what we've experienced this week as a church and what I've even experienced personally as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, what I've experienced, and I pray that today you can grab hold of it as well and put yourself in different areas and see different areas in your life where this might apply to you. But first thing I want to say is this: look at somebody and say, it's okay to ask for help. I want you to just take a mental note for a second. There was a lot of reluctancy immediately. I said, look at somebody, tell them it's okay to ask for help. And I heard like a 3-second pause. Time stood still. And we're like, it's okay to ask for help. Because some of us, that's difficult to say. So today I want to kind of talk to you on this idea of whenever weakness actually becomes strength. That weakness is actually a doorway or an invitation into strength. And sometimes it's okay to just ask for help. I'll give you this idea at first talk right here off the bat. Any men of God in this room today have ever been home? Maybe your wife sent you to go pick up some groceries, or maybe you went and picked up the groceries, you do the grocery order, and you went and picked it up, and you came home, and you have 73 bags of groceries in your trunk. Anybody got a house like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, every single Monday, we have 100 items on a grocery list. Every single Monday, we got to go pick up, I promise. And so, what I tend to do is, if you're like me, whenever you get home with the groceries, all 73 bags are coming in at the same time, right? You have bags on all the way up your wrists, all the way onto your fingers, palms of your hands. They're all, and you're carrying, you got different bags on each finger. You got different, all this, and you're walking in, and you get about 10 steps down, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh no, my fingers are turning purple. They're about to fall off. This could be how I lose my fingers or my hands. And that's often what we look like in the spirit, is we try to carry a lot of weight without asking for help. And the truth is, it'd be very easy for me to just be like, hey, kids, come grab a few bags with me. It could also be very easy to be like, I can't do all this right now. And that's okay. Sometimes it's okay that I can't take on all of this right now. I can only take what I can take, and I might have to take a few trips. This is often what we look like in the spirit, is that we are afraid to be weak, because weakness is not received well in our culture. Instinctively, even as a child, you begin to learn that weakness is not okay. You learn this early, like kids on the playground, they learn it. Teenagers, man, y'all learn. Especially the guys. The guys, I'm like, y'all just quit. Your ego is not cool. You're weak, actually, and you're projecting your weakness and strength. But that's a whole other conversation, okay? But we learn early on that weakness in some way is a bad thing. Adults, you learn this in work and relationships, right? I started going back to the gym recently, and I looked around, and I was like, there are women in here that are lifting heavier than me, and there are old men that are picking up some weights. And here I am like, I'm gonna put it on 40 pounds and just, there we go, I'll start here. And so even in our own interpersonal things that we do, weakness is never like a great thing. As a matter of fact, normally it makes us feel inferior, it makes us feel insecure, it makes us feel these different things. And so we have built a culture around looking strong. We have lots of strong opinions with no truth we actually stand on. That is the look of strength, but no real strength. Real strength of opinion is built in truth. Okay? We'll have this, we'll say that we have strong personalities, but we don't have much integrity. We are strongly independent, but also whenever we're put into a situation that we don't feel independent, then all of a sudden we realize that we weren't as strong as we thought we were. And in that same thought, even in the church, we've absorbed this mindset. We've done this. We assume or put together that spiritual maturity means we have it all together. And I want to propose this to you today, that actually spiritual maturity is you saying, I don't have it all together. That there's areas of my life that are weak. That's true spiritual maturity. That's real maturity. Real maturity is not puff macho man walking around going, I've got it all together and I ain't got no problems. I've got nothing going wrong in my life. The real truth of spiritual maturity is the ability to focus in on a weakness and ask for help in that area. It is not to say that you know everything, that you figured it all out. As a matter of fact, whenever you reject help, it actually reveals immaturity. And the truth is, all of us in this room have weaknesses. Every single one of us, whether you like to admit it today, and by the way, by the end of the sermon, you're going to find your weakness because the Holy Spirit's going to reveal it to you. All of us in this room have some form of weakness. Can I tell you that Pastor Micah has weaknesses? This week, some of them were exploited. This week, some of them were pushed on. And this is when I have to go, I can't carry this myself. Because the truth is this, if I try to push forward in my own strength, not only will I hurt myself, I will hurt those around me. And we have to be people that are willing to say, listen, I've got some areas in my life that need some help. It's okay to ask for help. And we see this even in Scripture. In the New Testament, God does not avoid weakness. As a matter of fact, very often he works in our weakness. I'll give you some context before we read this text. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 is what we're going to read in just a second. But let me give you this context. Right before what we're about to read, Paul describes this amazing experience about, and he calls it like going and seeing a third heaven. It's a great revelation of God that he has. Paul understood that the human heart and what it was like, and he knew experiences like that can lead to pride. And so he talks about this thorn in the flesh that was given to him. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. There's no scriptural permanency that says this was what it was. There's speculation that it could have been an infirmity or a sickness or something like that that he had, but we don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. The bottom line is that we knew that there was some form of weakness that Paul had, okay? That's what the thorn in the flesh represents. And Paul begged God three times to take it away. And instead of removing it, God says something profound to him back. What God says back to Paul's begging to remove the weakness is this, and he said to me, God says this, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul turns around and says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, or possible weaknesses, we could say, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproach, in needs and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul, that makes no sense. For then, when I am weak, then I'm strong. But it's because Paul has this revelation and this experience with the Father. And God says this to him. He says, listen, when you are weak is when my strength can come rushing in. Whenever the areas of your life that you will actually put a finger on and go, you know what? I'm weak in this area. That is the invitation for my strength to come in and speak to you, to uplift you, to encourage you. He basically says this, that weakness becomes the place where God's strength shows up. So write this down. God's power is most visible when human strength is insufficient. God's power is most visible when human strength is insufficient. We think God's power is most visible whenever we've got it all together. But really what Paul says here is something totally different. And we even see in Scripture a couple times, I'm going to show you. What we see in Scripture here is that it is in the times that human strength isn't there, or the ability to fulfill what needs to be done is there. That's when, Jeremiah. Jeremiah says this, says, I know what you're calling me to be. You're called me to be a prophet to the nations. And God puts his hand on Jeremiah's mouth and says, shut up. He says, I'm giving to you the words to speak, the anointing to speak. Moses says, hey, I've got a speech problem. I can't go speak to Pharaoh and tell him let my people go. He says, okay, well, I'll give you Aaron. We see Moses then again later on. Human strength is giving up. He's holding up the stick, the rod. And what happens? Aaron and Hur have to come alongside him and hold up the man of God's arms. What am I saying? I'm saying that the human strength was insufficient in those moments. The human ability was insufficient at that moment. So God shows up in the places where sometimes our strength is limited. And that creates a tension for us that we often don't know how to live in or navigate, because we've been taught since childhood that we must project strength and never show weakness. And so we carry it not only in our natural life, we carry it in our spiritual life as well, because it's something we learned as an adolescent, that it's not okay to be weak. And I want to propose to you that sometimes you need to be weak. Sometimes you need to say, hey, I need help. Sometimes you need to just say, you know, this is not a strong area for me. And that is okay, as long as you won't stay in the weakness. I'm going to show you this today through an incredible text. And I pray that you can find yourself in this text. And I think that you will, in one way or another, the text we're about to jump into, you're going to find yourself as one of these characters in this text. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 3 through 12, we're going to read here in just a second. But I told Pastor Chelsea whenever I picked her up from the airport, the next day we're driving back, and I said, I know what the Lord's told me to speak for this Sunday. And it is to let people know that it's okay to be carried. Sometimes it's okay to be carried. Sometimes you need people to carry you. And you don't have to do it all. You don't have to figure it all out. But I also want to give people an equipping for those that are in the room that need to carry your brother or your sister in this room or others around you, and give you an equipping word and an idea here that what does that look like? What does it look like to carry someone whenever they're in their weakness? And I'm hoping today that you can hear my heart and I can answer both questions in a timely manner. So let's read this real quickly. Verse 3 says, then they came to him, talking about Jesus, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, look at that. So there was people, once again, thronging Jesus. It was a crowd. You got to think for a moment. I'll come back to this. There's people in that room that have actual needs, I'm sure. There are people that are sick and afflicted in their body, and they heard that Jesus, the miracle maker, was coming to town, and they said, you know what? I'm going to where Jesus is, and I'm going to be there too. But then we get this story. We don't hear anything else about anybody else that Jesus heals, touches, sets free, delivers, or anything in this story except for this man. And I believe that's important for us, because the scripture is very, there's a reason for why scripture exists and what we can get from it. And I've preached this sermon, not this sermon, I've preached from this text numerous times. And I've always focused in on the faith, and I haven't focused in on the weakness. And I want to say this real quickly, that sometimes some of the greatest faith is found in your weakness. And you can have faith and have weakness at the same time. They can coincide together. As a matter of fact, I can declare things in faith, but also admit that there's some weak areas of my life. Those two things can live together at the same time. And that is what's going to keep me from going into the spiral of weakness and insufficiency, is going to be the fact that I can declare in faith, is going to help me get to the place where I need to be. So hear me, watch this. It goes on to say this. So it says, because of the crowd, and they uncovered the roof where he was, where Jesus was. So when they had broken through, just a little bit of damage, they let down the bed on which the paralytic man was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, remember that, we'll come back to it, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes, the people who know it all, were sitting there reasoning in their minds and their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived it in his spirit, that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He says to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. So we see in this text, before we even see the miracle take place, the story is already telling us something very important. This man had a weakness. This man had an infirmity. This man had something in his life that was keeping him in a place of weakness. And so he could not move. He could not get himself to Jesus. He could not fix his own condition. And for a little bit of context of understanding here, the reason that the scribes that are there are freaking out, going, wow, well, you can't forgive sins, so on and so forth. And also what's very interesting is that in the early Jewish culture, there was this understanding that if you had sin in your family, then that automatically equated the sickness that you're living in. So whatever the sin of your father was, that would be why you were paralyzed, or why the woman with the issue of blood, that would be why she had that issue, is because in their minds, if you had sin, there was the immediate consequence of sin was that of some sort of infirmity, some sort of illness. We see this in, I think it's in John's gospel, where the scribes say, or people say something very similar, with like, hey, was it the father or was it him? Is that why he's blind? Who sinned? Was it him or was it the father? And so we see that there's a strong belief, which means this: there is a social awkwardness with a man even being present in that place, because he had to overcome the idea that people were thinking, well, what sin has he committed? So even in his own physical weakness, there's a mental battle that is taking place. And I think a lot of us often will say we struggle with if I admit weakness in this area, what are they going to think about me? And truthfully, this man, whenever he has to ask people to carry him and gets brought into the presence of all these people and does these things, he's having to fight with this idea that there's social shame and religious suspicion that's taking place. And so now we see that Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven you. And the truth is, we still do this today in the church. We look at people and we start judging them. We judge what they're going through based off of, oh, they're probably sinning somewhere. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Y'all know you've done it. Somebody says, I'm dealing with sickness. And we saw in 2020, whenever people were getting COVID, all of a sudden, every genius theologian, and when I say that in the most Facebook quoted ways I can, there was a strong belief that if you contracted COVID and died, it's because you had sin in your life. And it was God's righteous judgment. Can I say this? No. Hurricanes don't happen because God's righteous judgment. Wildfires don't take place because he's judging California. That's nonsense. All right? Quit. So there's this idea even in the church sometimes where we've let this creep in. And can I just give you this real quickly? The reason natural disasters and things take place is because the sin of Adam, not the sin of you. The sin of Adam brought sin into the world, which brought enmity between us and the Lord, which also created the fallen world that we live in, to where sin and things do happen, and there is sickness, there is disease, there is death, there is these things. But we have a great hope. We know, even when we talk about this, we have, even in death, there is no sting of death any longer because Jesus took away the sting of death. So yes, our flesh may grieve death, but however, our spirit is alive in Christ. So we don't mourn as those who have no hope, but rather we know to be absent with absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know for us in the flesh, that stinks to think about. Our flesh hurts, but you're not called to walk in your flesh. You're called to walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm not just saying just accept death. What I am saying, or so I said, like, oh, you get sick, well, I'm just going to die. No, what I am saying is that I believe, yes, his promises are yes and amen. And I believe that we can experience, like I said earlier, we can experience his promises here on earth. But ultimately, no matter what, if we believe on Jesus, we will experience the fullness of his promises one day. And that is our great hope. And so today, yeah, we have things that are in the world, but it's not because necessarily you sin. Now, we do know that the wages of sin is death, is what Scripture says, and the gift of God is eternal life. So we should abstain from sin, and we should live righteous before the Lord. But hear me, what Jesus does here is he addresses your sins have been forgiven, because he's addressing a deeper stigma that is carried with the people in that room. And so what he's doing here is he says, I've cleansed your sin. And if you look at this, the man does not get up on the heels of the cleansing of sins. Because why? It's still a broken world. Okay? The sin of Adam had still taken place. So he can forgive sins, but that doesn't mean that healing is going to happen always. But hear me. But he's dismantling this idea that sin is a direct correlation. Your sin is a direct correlation to sickness. Because whenever if what they believed was true, it would have been this, that as soon as he said your sins have been forgiven, there would have been immediate healing that took place. But that's not what happened. There's a moment in there. There's a gap. And Jesus hears the Pharisees or the scribes in that moment. And he listens and he goes, hold on. I can forgive sins, but let me show you this. I can also heal the sick. And he does that. So notice for a second, the scribes who are supposed to be religious leaders, their response to forgiveness is skepticism and even calling Jesus blasphemous. This is what they represent, and I pray that none of us in this room represent this. They represent religion without compassion. That's what the scribes are representing in this story. Meanwhile, there's the four friends that we don't know their names, and we don't know the guy who's on the mat. We don't know his name, so today we're just going to call him Matt. And you'll get it in a second. But his friends represent faith with action. And that's where we need to find ourselves. Those people that are not the ones that are faith without works, we're faith with works. Because faith without works is dead. This is how people know that we're his disciples, is how we love one another. So hear me, like, it's important that we're there for one another, that we hold one another, and that our faith calls us into action, not to a sideline in skepticism, but rather into the action to help those that are in need. So the religious leaders sit on the side, they're analyzing the theology. The friends are the ones climbing on the roof with this guy and putting him into the place where he needs. So what stands out to me whenever I read this story is that he didn't allow his weakness to stop him. Instead, he acknowledged the weakness and he invited people into it. And that's a very different response than what most people have. It's a very different response than what often we have, because the human instinct, whenever you feel weak, is you withdraw, right? Anybody else like that? That's how I am. I'm like, if I feel weak, I withdraw. I don't want to tell anybody. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want anyone to know how badly I'm hurting right now. I just want to sit in my weakness. And if we're honest, that's a lot of us in this room, that we would rather just sit in our weakness. But that's because psychology actually confirms that for us. Through studies, we'll see one of the strongest emotional responses humans experience is shame. And shame pushes people towards secrecy and isolation. So often when we feel broken or we feel inadequate or we feel like we're weak, we feel like we don't measure up, we feel like we're exposed or any of those things, our instinct is to hide. But can I say this today, that healing rarely happens in hiding, and that healing happens when something broken is brought into the light. So this is what the man could have done. I believe that Matt, the paralytic man on the mat, could have chosen pride. I believe that he could have chose some of these, and maybe this is what you choose sometimes. I don't want people to see me like this. I believe that some of us do this, and this is me. I'm going to be vulnerable enough to tell you this. I'm the person that, it's not that I don't want people to see me like this, it's that I don't want to burden anyone. Because I realize other people got their own burdens. I'm like, I don't need to bring this up to people, like how much I'm hurting or what I'm going through right now, because people got their own stuff. And the Lord's convicted me on this. So some of us, that's us. I don't want to burden anyone else. And then some of us are this answer. I'll figure it out myself. I don't need anybody else. I'll just figure it out. You know the problem with figuring things out in your weakness is? You get more weak. You bog out. And then you give up. Because that weakness cannot be sustained. Because it needs strength to enter into it. So if he would have done that, if Matt, the man on the mat, would have done that, he would have stayed exactly where he was. But instead, he looked at the people around him and essentially just said, listen, I'm weak in this area and I need you to carry me. I just need to be carried for a little bit. I need help getting to Jesus. And that moment of honesty is the turning point of this story. So write this down. Weakness acknowledged becomes the doorway to strength supplied. Weakness acknowledged becomes the doorway to strength supplied. It should be back there for you guys. Whenever we can acknowledge our weaknesses is whenever we can actually have the doorway open to be supplied some strength. And that strength can come in different ways, but one of those ways is this. I'm going to give this to you real quickly. And that is this idea that you need some friends that are strong, not when you are weak, where you are weak. This is why you got to identify where you're weak at. You get you some friends that are strong where you are weak, not just when you are weak. Because our human tendency, if we're honest, we don't even want to be the weak one of the friend group. We want to be the strong one. We want to be the rock. We want the people. I want to be the one that everybody calls on. Why? Because it fulfills my fleshly need to be needed. It fulfills this idea that, man, it makes me feel strong. And we gravitate towards those who are weaker so we can feel stronger. And can I tell you that you need some friends who are strong where you are weak? This story is a picture of that. Mark tells us that four men carried him. And when the crowd prevented them from getting inside the house, what happens? Those men find another way. And whenever there's another setback, now there's a roof, they say, we got to keep carrying because he needs to get to Jesus. We're going to find another way. Then they look and it's a big drop and they're like, we got to find a way. And they begin to lower him in. This is commitment and friendship. This is biblical community that we're seeing in this story. And there's something important here that we should notice. Hear me. The friends did not have the responsibility of healing him. They had the responsibility of carrying him. And there's a big difference. Because oftentimes we want to be the savior. We want to be the one that fixes everything. And even in that, you think about it for a second. What is your motive whenever you're wanting to be the healer? Most of the time, if we're honest, our motive is because we want to be looked at as strong or the strong one. And I want to propose this idea that it is not your responsibility to heal the friend that is weak. It is your responsibility to help carry them to Jesus, who is the great physician, who is the healer, who is the one that gives grace, and who is the one that gives strength. It is not your responsibility to put in all of your 2 cents and what you think they should do, or what this person, this is what you really need, sweetie. This is what you really need to do. Sometimes you just need to be the ear that listens and walks. Sometimes you just need to be the hand that holds and is there. Sometimes you need to be introspective and think, where are areas in my life that I do have some strength in this area that I can provide maybe just one thought that looks like the Lord? I don't have to be the Lord. I'll just let the Lord speak through me. And we're taking away the idea that we have to be the healer and we let Jesus be the healer. So in your relationship with people, hear me. You are not Jesus doing the miracle. You're the one friend that's carrying the mat. Yeah. And that's just as, or so is just as important as what Jesus is about to do. Because without you carrying the mat, you don't get to Jesus. Without you carrying the mat, your friend that you're carrying, excuse me, does not get to Jesus. And doesn't get to experience the healing. And you know what? That takes effort on your part. It's going to take you using where you are strong to carry somebody in the midst of their weakness. So I'm not saying once again that actions and words can't bring healing or comfort, but what I am saying is that it's not your responsibility to bring out the ultimate healing in what you do. The sower sows the word. And you look like Jesus to them in the way that you can. And if that's carrying the mat, here's the truth. Over this past week, it was rough, to say the least. There were things that I have since come to terms with, places that my mind had kind of went that I didn't want to admit out loud at times. And when you're in that kind of crisis or weakness, and if anybody's ever been in it, and I know some of you have been. I can look around this room and I can name people that have been. And people are so loving, and I'm thankful for this. But a question that you often get is, what do you need? And if anybody's ever been in those crisis situations, you're like, I don't know. I just know I have a need. And I can't even put words to what the need is. I just know there's something in me. And the only thing maybe like for me was the only need I had was I wanted to be back with my wife. That's the only thing I could think about. I know that's my need. Everything else, I don't know. I know I need encouragement. I know I need some people to remind me of some things. But there were incredible people in our church that came alongside me and supported me in practical ways and in prayer that were needs that I had. And there were some, I'm telling you, there were so many people with outpouring of love, wisdom, things of that nature that were needed for me, yes. But also, I'm going to make special mention of these people. I did this in first service because I genuinely, it wrecked me in the best way possible. And I was driving with my boys because I decided that I was going to take the boys away for a couple days to put our mind on some fun things to keep us basically busy, active, so that they weren't thinking on those things as well. And I'm driving, and I receive a text from Bradley Pascal. And Bradley texts me, and he's talking to me about the situation and things of that nature, asking me what I need. And then he texts back, and he said, Alana sat down, which is his wife, and wrote out things that may be helpful. And I immediately began to weep in the car. And what happened was, Alana was one of the people carrying the mat in my life, along with so many of you guys. And I could sit here and go around the room and name other people, but this specific instance I want to just honor for a moment because it was significant for my heart. And he sent, I think, like five things that might be helpful in this time. And all just like that, I said, Bradley, everybody's asking me what I need, and I've not been able to put to words what I need. But a lot of these things are the exact answer. And as soon as I read it, I went, yeah, that's what I need. Yeah, that's what I need. Yeah, that's what I need. I say that to say that is a tangible way to show somebody, hey, I'll help carry your mat. I'll help get you to Jesus. I'll help get you to healing. I'll help get you to that place to the miraculous that you need. And I experienced the love of the Father through that. And I told them, I said, this is what I believe. And this is why we need to know about God. We need to know his character, his attributes, how he is. And there's a story in the Bible that Hagar is facing some issues and things of this nature. And God speaks to her. And in that moment, a name of God is put forth, and it is the God who sees. And sometimes just thinking about what someone else may need, and I'll get to something else in a minute, because it was actually from a place of the miraculous that they've experienced and things they've gone through. They had their own mat that they were carrying that they were able to say, look, this is what my mat was. And this is a practical way that could help. So even our weaknesses, hear me today, can become strengths for others if we will not be so selfish and make it all about us. And so I honor and I'm thankful for every single person that reached out, yes. But that moment was a mat-carrying moment for me. And I know that in your own life, you're going to have mat-carrying moments where you're going to see these people in your life, even people in this room, carry the mat to get you to Jesus, to get to the miracle. And this is what happens when Jesus sees faith. Mark 2:5, once again, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Notice, when Jesus saw their faith, not the paralytic's faith, the friends, when Jesus saw their faith, there's something powerful in this, is that sometimes God honors the faith of the community around you. Yeah. And I believe it's important that you carry a good community. I believe it's important that you have some people that will believe in faith and act in faith. Faith without works is dead. What Jesus actually saw was the actions of faith. Think about that for a second. We always want to talk about no works. Well, Jesus in this text right here, he sees the work of man and goes, that's faith. And that's what we have recorded in the story. So hear me today. There are seasons of life when someone else's faith helps carry you until yours is strengthened again. Now I'm going to balance it. That is not an excuse to abuse other people. Meaning this. The story does not end in weakness. It ends in the miraculous. It ends in healing. Hear me today. If you are just being weak to be weak, you're just wanting attention and you're being manipulative, and ultimately it's actually abusive behavior. When you're always the victim and you're always the weak one and you never can be the one that actually tries to actually help. This is what we do. Oftentimes this is what it looks like. I'll put it to you in this way. People will come up and try to pick up the mat, and then we'll find weights. And we'll load down the mat. And those same people, God-loving people who want to help, all right, boys, let's get this. And they're trying to lift, and you will, once again, you will not only hurt yourself and you'll stay in weakness, you hurt those around you who are trying to help carry you to the healer. And let me encourage you, if you're weak, you don't have to stay weak. Allow people to pick you up. You have to be willing to be carried at times. Weakness is not unique to the story. I already talked a little bit about Moses whenever Aaron and Hur and these things. But hear me. God does not always remove the weakness. Sometimes he provides. Still hurts even when you have somebody to hold strength in the midst of it. And that's what we need to be willing to embrace, is letting people step into our life and into our situation and be those that, yeah, maybe I'm in pain, but can you help carry my weakness right now? Until I see healing. Until I see the miracle. Can you help carry me here? And that's what the body of Christ was designed for. That's why you're in this church, I believe. Because Paul says this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. That's in 1 Corinthians 12. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Because the hand is strong where the eye isn't. And the eye is strong where the hand isn't. And they need each other to work and fulfill what the other one can't do. So hear me, the kingdom of God was never designed around spiritual independence. It's designed around interdependence, meaning that we should be depending on our brothers and sisters in Christ to help us get to new strengths. And every believer has strengths, and every believer has weaknesses. And God created this system where strengths of one person can help carry the weakness of another. But here is the big problem. Most people don't want to admit their weakness. But Scripture gives us this in James 5 and 16. Before I read this text, I'll give you this story real quickly. Just recently, I was preaching to our youth on this matter and on this text. And I said, everybody, anybody in this room ever played Never Have I Ever? And you can imagine a group full of teenagers like, yeah. And I'm like, we're about to play it different than the way you played at school, okay? And so I said, you don't have to put your hands up. You put your hands in your pocket. You put them by your side, behind your back. You don't have to show anybody else. I'm going to ask some questions with hands up. And my hands are going to be up as the leader. I'm going to show you what I've been through. And I start going through different things that maybe you face. You know, never have I ever lied to my parents and then tried to hide it. You know, everybody's finger went down, just like yours would right now if we played the game too. I almost did this today because it's a very similar idea here that I'm going to. And so we did that, and then I read the scripture. And I said, confess your trespasses one to another, or to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be what? Healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Notice the connection. Confession is what leads to healing. I'm not talking about Catholic confessional. I'm talking about being willing to even with yourself confess, I've got some weaknesses. I've got some hurt areas. I've got some areas of my life that need healing. And the truth is this, if we can't admit that to ourselves, we'll never be able to admit it to others. You can't confess to others what you won't even admit to yourself. So confession will lead to healing, and forgiveness comes from God, but healing will often happen in community. And then after that, what I did is said, I want everybody to take a piece of paper. I gave them all a piece of paper and pen. So write down one thing you're struggling with right now. Maybe it's self-image, maybe it's insecurities, maybe it's self-harm, maybe you're dealing with lust, maybe it's whatever. Write them down. So they, and I said, don't put your name on it. Some of them still put their name on it. I wrote it down. I said, all right, crumble that up. Come put it in this whatever, basket. Thank you. What a stupid word, basket. Put it in this basket. And I took all those papers, crumbled them together, made a big ball, and then went LeBron on them. And just threw them. And the gasp in the room was everyone was afraid. And I immediately heard questions percolating. Is someone going to read those? And I say, well, that was my plan. No, don't let them read them. Please, please, please. Please. And I was like, and then I found out some people put their names on them, and I didn't want to embarrass anybody, so I did not have them read them. And I almost did it this morning with all of you because I wanted to see if y'all would react the same way. And I have a feeling that many of you would. But you know what was interesting? I asked after they wrote them down. I said, how, when you confessed to that to yourself, how did you feel in that moment when you confessed to yourself that? And the kids' answers were, I felt scared. I didn't want to admit it. My flesh was telling me, hey, don't write that. And I think if I did this same exercise with many adults, you would feel the same way if you actually took audit of your life for a moment and wrote down some areas of your life that you're weak or you're struggling. Because you put on a fake mask when you come to church and you act like everything's together. You go to work and you do the same thing. You make sure that you are the strong one at work. And it's all because we don't want to admit our weaknesses. But hear me today, friends. Scripture clearly tells us the pathway to healing in those areas is confession. You first have to admit, I'm weak in this area. I have struggles with anxiety. I struggle with X, Y, or Z. This area of my life needs the submission, to be put into submission to the Lord. And when we confess that, and Scripture tells us to confess one to another, so people who will hold the mat with you, it says on the other end of that, pray for one another, then healing enters in. And healing comes by Jesus, not by people. The confession has power, but Jesus enters in through his strength in the midst of the confession of the weakness that you have. So this is the ultimate understanding of bearing one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. We see that in Scripture. And so we're called to help carry one another. I'm going to give you two more quick things real fast. Weakness hidden becomes bondage, and weakness revealed becomes healing. Weakness hidden becomes bondage, and weakness revealed becomes healing. Jesus turns around and tells the man, take up your bed and go to your house. So listen to this. This small mat this man has been living on is a symbol of his weakness. That mat, it represented the thing that carried him everywhere. It represented the life that he could not get out of. It represented the fact that he could not walk. But after Jesus' healing power, after people carried him, after people lowered him in, after Jesus forgave him, after those confession, and then after that there is healing, after that takes place, hear me, the thing that once carried him becomes the thing that he carries. The weakness at one point becomes a testimony of strength to others. Meaning this, that God can use those moments where he gives you grace in your weakness to bring you into a new life of strength so you can walk around with the mat and saying, this is what the Lord has done. And because I know what it feels like to be laying on the mat, I can now be the one that knows how to hold the mat. I don't have to just be one that's held all the time. Sure, I'm not saying it's probably going to shift sometimes. There are probably still going to be times in your life that you're going to need to be held. You're going to need some mat carriers. But then, listen, those times that you see other people experiencing weakness in the areas now that you're strong in, that's your opportunity to say, listen, I've been on that mat before too. And I know how to practically meet those needs. I know how to love those people. I know how to pray for them. So hear me today. Where your weakness is can become the evidence of his power. Pastor Donald, will you come play? So in other words, listen, Jesus didn't just heal the man. He reversed the entire story. And in different seasons of life, the beauty is, yes, we will end up being both. One day we may be the person needing to be carried, but another day we'll be the person who helps carry. So I'm going to give you three things. I'm going to dismiss you. One, you need to acknowledge where you're weak. Acknowledge where you're weak. This is the pathway to getting off your mat. Acknowledge your weakness. Name it. It's okay. Naming it is not empowering it. Naming is just saying, listen, this is an area I struggle in. Lord, I invite you into it. But not only invite the Lord, invite the right people into that area. Invite people that are stronger than you in that area, who can carry you, maybe who have been. Scripture says this, follow those through whom faith and patience have inherited the promise. Part of the promise is healing. Part of the promise is grace. Part of the promise is strength. So follow those. You know, there are people that I look up to, Pastors Jason and Lindley Barber. They were some of my youth pastors growing up. They have three kids, and they are a shining example to me on how to raise kids who love the Lord and aren't strange. And I look up to those people, and I invite those people into that area of my life where whenever we had just had kids, I didn't know what I was doing. Not only was I a baby myself, I'm trying to raise kids, and I got no clue what I'm doing. So I look to people what? Through faith and patience have already inherited the promise. There's a testimony in their life. Invite those people that are stronger than you into those weak areas. And then the last thing is, allow people to carry you for a season. It's okay to be carried, friends. The paralytic was carried in, but he walked out healed. Sometimes you need help temporarily so that God can restore you fully. So I want you to remember today, sometimes temporarily you may need seasons of help, and that's okay. As long as you keep in the forefront of your mind that the reason I'm being carried is so God can restore me fully. Will you stand to your feet this morning? I want to pray for us today. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment, I want to do this real fast. I want to do this practical exercise real quickly, if you will, with me. With every head bowed, every eyes closed, I'm not going to look around. I don't want anybody looking around. If you will, just for a minute, just ask the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Lord's already been speaking to you during this message and highlighting some areas of your life that you need his strength, areas that you maybe have not wanted to admit you're weak in. There's probably some of you in this room that have some dark areas of your heart that you have refused to even open the door to anymore, because every time you open the door, that weakness is just a stinging reminder. And I'm asking you today, if you have a weakness that you've been afraid to admit, if you have weakness in your life that maybe it's an area, maybe it's a sin area, maybe it's not, maybe it's just, man, you're dealing with a lot right now and you feel overloaded. Maybe it's anxiousness. You have a lot of anxious thoughts. I just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now. Lord, what are the areas that we need your strength in a new way? And if you're in this room today, every head bowed, every eyes closed, this is you, a moment between you and God. And I'm going to ask you to lift your hand for a second. And the reason you're lifting your hand is not so other people can see, but is rather coming into agreement just for a moment that, Lord, I see one of those weak areas, and I make a decision today to invite the right people in. I make a decision today to allow myself to be carried so that I can see full restoration. If that's you today, you're in this room, all head bowed, all eyes closed, will you just lift your hand in submission to the Lord? Father, right now, I thank you for the hands that are going up across this room. You see them. No one else has to see them right now. You see them, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that your grace is made perfect. It's sufficient in our weakness. Will everyone in this room lift their hands to the Lord? Father, I thank you for this word today. We give you honor for it, and we thank you for a word of strengthening. Even though it may feel almost backwards to acknowledge weakness and call it strength, but we know right now, even as we ask for help from the Lord, we look our eyes up unto the hills from which our help comes from. Our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. So Father, first off, we acknowledge you as healer. We acknowledge you as a help. We acknowledge you as the grace that we need in this time of need. But Father, also for us in this room, that have strengths. Help remind us that you've given us these strengths to help those that are around us in the midst of their weakness. Not to just walk around as a strong person, but rather to bring heaven, to bring grace, to bring strength into those weak areas. So, Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and all the praise. We thank you for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. We give God a hand clap. Amen this morning, church. Amen.